FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a
Dr. Randy Tobler, happy No Collusion Forever Day. How are you?
I'm great. Boy, I tell you, this is going to be a big nothing burger, won't it?
Oh.
I mean, the whole thing was built on a house of cards, and they're going to try to go after him for obstruction of justice when he was righteously indignant. Wild, isn't it?
I've got indigestion already, and I haven't even tasted my nothing burger yet. You know it's coming, though.
It's so great the way these people get up there, and they just it's just a platform to create some sound bites. I think the largest audience for these folks, the senators and the representatives that they testify in front of them, whether it's Mueller or any of them, it's all about creating the next sound bite for the 2020 election cycle, right? So all of their handlers and all of their election campaign managers are watching feverishly to see what they can glean from that.
You know, when Mueller held his news conference, a month ago, a little over a month ago, he gave the Democrats and the media exactly what they wanted. He suggested something more should be done, but he couldn't do it. And when it was over with, the media in this country fawned over him. So let me remind people of that.
This was vintage Bob Mueller. No questions, no bull.
He speaks in measured but clear tones and style.
That's the man Bob Mueller is. He's precise, he's factual, he's accurate. The man doesn't know the definition of hyperbole.
So, I mean, that's just an example of what they said about him last time. And you know that, in my opinion, he teed this up for himself. And by saying, please don't invite me to testify because I can't say anything other than what's in my report. Please don't make me sing. It reminds me of that Saturday Night Live skit. Don't make me sing, because he was hoping somebody would try to make him sing.
Yeah. It was the darndest news conference, because the thing I remember was, I guess, first and second place, not in any particular order, was that, you know, please don't, you know, ask me to testify. But at the same time, he said, you know, our report speaks for itself. That is the final word. That is the way, the truth, and the life when it comes to this whole matter. And so I don't know what he's going to say. And if he goes out of his lane on this, I think he sets him up for just deserved criticism and just scathing hypocrisy and being disingenuous in the first place, which raises the whole question of how honest is the whole thing? You said it spoke for itself. Now, if you say one thing that is out of bounds, well, doesn't that discredit your whole credibility, sir? I mean, that's the Republicans' angle from where I stand.
Well, you would think so. It'll be interesting to see just how far he's willing to go with this whole. Basically what he said in the news conference was, I couldn't charge obstruction, or, you know, what did he say? If we could have proven him innocent, we would have said so. Well, that was never his job. And that alone should be a red warning flag to everybody watching tomorrow. I think he'll go up there. He'll be smug. He will try his best to suggest that there's something else to it that he wasn't allowed to get to somehow. And it's going to be just a firestorm of criticism and fuel for the left. At least the Justice Department, Randy, sort of fired a warning shot across his bow, and they told him he'd best stay on script when he's in front of Congress.
Which again raises the question: what is? I thought that Barnum and Bailey Ringling Brothers Circus was dead. Actually, I think we're going to see it resurrected in this whole deal.
Yeah,
I think it'll be less about Mueller than it will be about the people questioning him, because it's an opportunity for them to grandstand. That's what these so-called hearings at any level have become, whether it's judicial confirmation hearings or anything else. It's just a way for Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and Pocahontas to be in center ring with the light on them, and the guy in the top hat introduces them, and then they put on their show. That's all it is. And once in a while, they fall from the higher wire. I mean, it's just it's unbelievable.
Randy, if anybody who's listened to my show for any period of time over the years has heard this soundbite till they're probably tired of hearing about it, but I'm going to play it again this morning as I tee up our discussion over this omnibus bill the president just agreed to.
That's the current spending.
To stop spending. Stop spending. Stop spending. Stop spending. Stop spending. That's what we want.
Does it never end? I mean, I know that Donald Trump didn't go into office as some sort of a conservative savior on fiscal policy. But this is the second time now that the president has come forward and said, I will never sign another bill like this again. He said that yesterday, but he said that once before. They keep spending money like we've got a money tree somewhere.
He is clearly positioning himself as a social conservative and an economic and fiscal moderate. I don't think we can catch it anyway, you know, and any other way. And he's certainly a nationalist or a patriot, whatever you want to say. And
right.
He's certainly a defense hawk, I think, in his own way. While he's not a warmonger, he certainly is strong in defense and savvy about it too. But he does fall short in the fiscal count. And I think he's probably a little bit blinded, don't you think? He has some glasses that are colored by a stock market green. And I think in his eye, he probably interprets the success and the level of the stock market as the overall influence and impact of his policies on the Americans at large and at middle class folks as well, who don't maybe have the same amount of investments as people in his private bubble do. And so I think he looks at that and he says, well, prosperity is all around. The money is going to come in. Remember in the first year or so after Reagan's big tax cut back in the early 80s, the deficits grew and swelled a lot and the tax returns were a little late in coming. So while we disdain the spending the way it is, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see a shrinkage in the deficit eventually, as long as the policies are carried out. And especially if we could get the Senate back in, the House of Representatives back in control.
I hope so. I hope we're able to do that. But, you know, it's possible because the president realizes the truth of the fact that the mainstream media in this country is basically a political action committee for the left. Their full intention is to defeat Donald Trump in 2020. Maybe, being the tactician that he is, he realized that if he pushed this to a government shutdown again, they were just going to use that as more fuel to try to get him out of office in 2020. I mean, it's possible that was part of the thinking here.
No, you're right. I mean, he could be playing for the long game. This could be a strictly political move where he's capitulating to ensure the Oval Office stays where it's at. And, you know, the House maybe flips over, Senate stays where it's at or gets a little stronger in terms of conservatives. And then it's scorched earth. I mean, that's a possibility. I'm talking from the Democrats' interpretation. It would be wonderful for us to say in a second term, Katie, bar the door. You want to see some fiscal responsibility? We're going to show you. But I think he's properly reading, unfortunately, and we've talked about this, Mark, he's reading the sentiment of many, many Americans who have really, even though they will claim on polls that they don't believe in socialism, whether they're senior citizens who want their raise, God love them, their Medicare raise, their Social Security, whether it is young people that want free education and free health care and free, daycare, everyone, about 60% of people now are somehow on the dole of the government. So it's hard to argue politically that you're not being a representative of the people in the truest sense if you're not handing out more money.
Sure.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm afraid that's the reality that we're living in these days.
Now I've got indigestion. Before my nothing burger.
They don't
burger
listen to the Mark Cox
tomorrow
show enough. That's the problem.
I'm telling you.
They're not listening
it
to the fiscal, the school of fiscal reality that is the Mark Cox show every Monday through Friday morning.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate that. Did you see this disturbing video?
I'm waiting for the final exam. You know?
You're going to pass with flying colors, my friend. You're at the top of the class, as usual. I've got the video up on the website now. I should say Tricia put the video up on the website now of the police officers in New York being abused by the crowd in Harlem. Have you seen this?
Is this with the water being thrown on them?
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're walking. They went to Harlem to effect an arrest. We don't know what the arrest was for. The crowd starts surrounding them and harassing them. And then they started pouring water on, like buckets of water. I don't know where the water came from. I don't know if somebody had a hose, then somebody had buckets of water. These police officers were being yelled at, and some guy runs up to the officers. He's walking away and pours a bucket of water over his head. It's one of the most disrespectful things you've ever seen. And the police union up there says this is exactly what Bill de Blasio wished for. The New York Police Department is frozen. This is the end result of a torrent of bad policies and anti-police rhetoric that's been streaming out of City Hall for years now. how far away could we be from this same thing in St. Louis? It's happening here. I
mean, think about it. After the after the riots and the Roddy Brown thing here a few years ago, Michael Brown incident.
Yeah,
Michael Brown. We had problems with I remember police officers accompanying the Black Lives Matter protesters saying, pigs in blanket fry like bacon. I mean, calling them, basically insulting them to their face while they protected their safety. So it's just a variation on the theme of, pretty much a very soft but very vocal and sometimes violent fascist uprising against authority in this country. And had that been Giuliani in office, watch out. All of those people would have been brought in for assault. There would have been no doubt about it.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. Hopefully the people in New York wake up and realize what they got on their hands there.
It's embarrassing.
Randy, out of time, my friend. We'll look for the Randy Tober Show on Saturday morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.